All right, we're back. Competing voices for our attention. We're not smart enough, pretty enough, or good enough. Ugh. And then there's the inner voice, the one that tells us what is best for us. With me today is Dr. Patricia O'Gorman, author of The Resilient Woman, Mastering the Seven Steps to Personal Power. Thank you for being on Talk with Francesca today, and welcome, Dr. O'Gorman.
Thank you so much, Francesca. It's a delight to be here with you.
Well, this is very funny because I don't even know how many years ago it was, but 19. I'm going to say, excuse me?
I think it was 19 years ago.
Okay. Well, all I know is that it was a class. It was like a six-week class or something at some local hospital, and it was a woman who was doing a little workshop on your book at the time, which was Dancing Backwards in High Heels, and I decided to take it, and I loved it, and I still have your book, so
Aww.
It's just, yeah, it was great, so... it was funny, I just mentioned it to a friend yesterday that I was interviewing you today, and she said, oh, I love the name of that book. So anyway, I just thought it's fabulous, and that here we are again. So yeah. Anyway, all right, but let's focus. Let's just get going here. And learning to make a crisis meaningful, that
yes.
certainly will build resistance, right? But
yes, and as women, people have said, why did you start the book with making your crisis meaningful. And I said, because women are so busy that they don't have time or they don't make time to sit back and think about things. But when they're in a crisis, that gets their attention. So that's why I started the book with looking at, if you're going to be in a crisis, make it meaningful, learn from it so you don't have to repeat it, at least not in that same way.
Yeah. But how, that when you're in crisis, you can't even think straight.
No, you can't, and we react instinctively, and but what we can do if we start thinking resiliently is we can begin to say to ourselves, this is what I did the last time I was in crisis, this is what works for me, I have these strengths, I have these skills, I have these contacts, and we can begin at least to reassure ourselves that there are things we know how to do to really help us get through the crisis. Because all of us have been through awful situations that we wished we had never had to face. That's just part of life.
Right.
But we do have the ability to really make those terrible moments a little easier by going in armed with our strengths.
So talk a little bit about that. What would arm you with some strengths?
Well, I think we can go into a crisis and we can say to ourselves, okay, the last time my father got drunk, this is what I did, and it worked. So maybe I should try doing it, now, as opposed to, being freaked out that it's happened again. Or the last time I asked for a raise, I did it this way, and it kind of worked. Maybe I should go in the way I went in last time and go in more confident and go in with a two-page memo and, as opposed to freaking out and saying, oh, my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? We have many more skills and resources at our disposal than we give ourselves credit for. And just in acknowledging that,
mm-hmm.
we can begin to calm down and focus.
I think
kind of what men do instinctively. We can do that.
I think that sometimes women don't give themselves the value that they are due. Even the ones who seem strong, who seem, like they have it all together. I think that women in general still tend to think less of themselves than they and really pay attention to the qualities that they and the strengths that they really have. And why is that?
Well, I think part of I call that in my book Girly Thoughts. I think we are trained as women from the earliest stories we are told about princesses who need to be rescued. That somehow, as a gender, we are in need of a strong male, and we're also taught that our value comes in our beauty,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily come in other places within us. And it's not that guys are off the hook. I mean, they've got their own things that they have to deal with. But this is us, and we have to move beyond the fairy tales in our lives and realize that each of us has incredible strengths and gifts, even if we are 5 feet tall, even if we have wide hips, even if our nose is too big, you know, yeah. whatever. We do not have to continue to oppress ourselves the way, in some ways, society oppresses us by having these images up that are, by the way, no longer real. I was in Nevada last week and did a radio show, and a woman called in who is 54 and a model. And she has been modeling for a while, and she's returned to it and has a lot of gigs. And she said she wakes up every morning depressed when she looks in the mirror because she doesn't look like herself. And I asked her what that meant, and she said, well, you know, my photographs are so beautiful, and they Photoshop them, and I just don't look like that. And I thought, this is crazy.
Yeah,
this is crazy what she is doing to herself. The real her is the photograph. And that's what we do to ourselves. We don't appreciate who we are. We don't appreciate the gifts we have. Obviously, she's a beautiful woman or she wouldn't be modeling. She doesn't appreciate her beauty. She just focuses on the little lines that the photoshopping gets rid of. And
well, it's a good thing I'm not interviewing a plastic surgeon after this then, huh?
But in some parts of our country, girls start getting Botox in their late teens, early 20s.
That is just
breast
nuts.
Breast augmentation can be a graduation gift or a sweet 16 gift. It's just become part of our cultural narrative. And it sends a message to young girls. It sends a message to those of us who are no longer young girls that our worth is so tied up in our looks. And I saw recently that the perfect model is the face of a 14-year-old on the body of a 20-year-old. It's not even a 14-year-old is a perfect model.
Oh, maybe in my next lifetime. I don't know. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk with Francesca, and I'm here with Dr. Patricia O'Gorman, who is the author of The Resilient Women, Mastering the 7 Steps to Personal Power. So what really inspired you then to write this book?
Well, I began, looking at all these digital enhancements, and actually my original contract, I hope I can say this, was to do a revision and update of Dancing Backwards in High Heels.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I got into the book and the material, the more I realized it was really a new book, that it needed to be clearer, that women were still falling under this spell of culture and still feeling crappy about themselves, even though, yes, there have been a lot of advancements, but there have been a lot of advancements and women's health is going down. So I thought, no, this has got to be addressed again.
So then what really is, not only what is resilience, but what can you do to build resilience?
Well, what resiliency is, are those skills we develop under adverse circumstances. So since life is full of adverse circumstances, we don't have to worry about going out and looking for them. They kind of come to us. but how we can build resilience is by, first of all, consciously doing an assessment of ourselves when we're in a mess and saying, okay, what can I pull out to help me get out of this mess? What resources do I have? What's worked the last time? What have I seen other people do that I can try? As women, we tend to learn a lot from our girlfriends. So what have my friends done that I can try? Secondly, we can start turning up that voice, which I call our resilient voice that's inside of us, and start listening to what it says, because it may be saying some things for us to do that are, not politically acceptable, but, just may work. And we all have many voices in us. I always do I like doing a little experience with women when I have them in a group. And it's not unusual for women to say they're hearing their kids, their husband, or their teacher, or their boss. We all have these running dialogues inside of us. We also have a voice that has answers and is pushing us to do something. whatever it is, in the moment, that is the right thing for us. That's a voice we need to turn the volume up on.
Yeah, but how do you know?
It's not about not listening to everyone else, but it is about including ourselves.
Well, but how do you know which voice of the many dialogues going on it is?
I think if what I have people do is write it out on a piece of paper. It takes about 2 minutes, by the way, this exercise. And it's very clear what voice is going on, you know, and whose voice these different voices are, and what voice is our voice, the kind of for me voice, the voice of our resilience or our wisdom. It becomes very clear, and it's in my book. I have all these exercises, and I just got a review of the book from somebody who's going to be using the book to teach creative writing to women.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, and someone else is going to use the book to teach memoir writing to women. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about the use in this way, but uh-huh. This is what women, and the book's been out 2 weeks, this is what uses women are finding to use this material for. So so we can turn up our own voice.
In that way, we're accessing our personal power, I take it.
Yes, yes. We're beginning to listen and realize it's there. And, you know, it can point us in some directions that could be wonderful for us to pursue, even if uncomfortable.
Well, let's talk a little bit about personal power.
Yes. Well, when we make our resilience conscious, it's a total game changer in our life. As women, we tend to go through life not owning our power and, you know, kind of like, oh, I just did that kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's our girly thoughts talking that say that to be a woman and to be acceptable, it's really you have to function in a very narrow band of how you look, a very narrow band of how you act, a very narrow band of what you expect. And if you go outside of that band, you deserve all the crap that comes on your head. Which is why I see in my clinical work as a psychologist, we hear from our girlfriends, somebody's married and their husband has an affair, and what does the woman do? She blames herself.
Right.
She's not angry at him. She blames herself. Why? Well, I gained weight, or I'm so tired, or, you know, give me a break.
It's well, you know, it's interesting because I was having a conversation the other day with a friend, and she's been seeing a guy, and she was on Facebook, and, you know, he had been sort of carrying on with his ex-wife on Facebook, and you know, she was justifiably upset, but then it quickly turned to, well, you know, I shouldn't have been nosying around anyway, and what I would say is it's too bad that if you have to feel that distrust to begin with, but if looking at Facebook and he's communicating with the ex, well, you know, and it's obviously a relationship that hasn't ended. Now she's saying, well, you know, it's really not that big a deal, and maybe I'm taking it too seriously, and it's like, I don't know about that. You know?
Yeah, it's our girly thoughts. It's like we tend to blame
what did ourselves. I do wrong? He
yeah,
left.
Like,
it's got to be me. Why yeah. would he have left? It couldn't possibly be. How could he leave this, though? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's our girly thoughts. If we go outside of this narrow band, we are to blame for all the crap that comes on our heads. Or if we are out of the band because we are too smart, or even out of the band because we are too assertive, or we are, you know, too ambitious, well, then we somehow deserve the crap because we make people uncomfortable, or we haven't made them comfortable enough, or any of the other nonsense that happens. We are conditioned to think that way, and I have developed this term, girly thoughts, to capture, you know, that nonsense that we internalize from society that says somehow we are to blame, and that's silly.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I first read that girly thoughts, I wasn't sure I liked it, you know,
yeah.
And then the more I read it, I thought, yeah, because that's actually exactly what it is, girly thoughts. I've
mm-hmm.
got my producer waving his arm up at me, so I want to go through the 7 steps of personal power. Can we?
Okay. Well, the step 1 is to make your crisis meaningful, and 2, choose to develop conscious resilience. That's different than walking around saying, well, I know I'm strong. Make it conscious. What do you do? Mm-hmm. What works for you?
Mm-hmm.
Step number two is to uncover your hidden resilient voice, to use your own wisdom to determine what's right for you. And we've talked about that. Step three is to create helpful boundaries, take charge, and stop setting yourself up.
Okay, talk about that one a little bit more.
Yeah, my editor's, crossed out helpful and put in healthy. I said, no, it's not healthy. She said, why not? I said, because healthy has become a new way women beat themselves up.
Yeah.
This is healthy, this isn't healthy, it's a healthy relationship, it's not a healthy relationship.
Toxic relationship, not a toxic, yeah.
Right, right. Is it a helpful relationship? I think that gets beneath the jargon. And is this a relationship that works for me?
And how do you know that? How can you tell our listeners?
You ask yourself, is this working or am I doing all the work? Or, is it helpful? Is it helpful to be this tired? Is it helpful to be yelled at? Is it helpful to have all my money go into the bills? Is that helpful? And if you pose it that way, it's easier, I think, to come to certain conclusions. When we don't set helpful boundaries, we tend to have mushy boundaries. We set ourselves up. And that's our girly thoughts, that we can't be clear. We can't put out what works for us and what doesn't work for us because, he'll leave, right? I mean, of course he'll leave, right?
Right. Boundaries are very...
He was attracted to the bossy girl to begin with, so probably he won't, but
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but boundaries are a tough one. I mean, they really are. Challenging to, especially when you love someone, you want the boundaries because you want to be able to have your own sense of yourself and, have your own identity still. And then at the same time, you don't want to turn that person off. I mean, I think that's just a very, very challenging thing. And particularly unless you had these perfect role models as parents in a relationship.
Well, but we can look within our family and see who are the strong women that we admire and how did they do it. And we can decode it because they lived at a different time, if we're talking about a grandmother or even a great-grandmother. But how did they do it? How did they take care of themselves and take care of those people around them? We can draw strength from that, and because there are strong women in all of our families. We are the children of those who survived. So there is strength in every one of us, in every one of our families. But when we are clearer about our boundaries, and there are different ways that our mothers and our grandmothers may have been clear about their boundaries. When we are clear about our boundaries and stop setting ourselves up, then we can negotiate a boundary. A boundary doesn't have to be rigid, but it has to be based on what works for us. I give people I see clinically some very strange advice. People always find this strange, but I tell them that the best relationship is a selfish relationship, and usually their jaw drops or they spill their coffee or something. And I say a relationship has to take care of your needs. And if your needs are being taken care of in the relationship and your partner's needs are being taken care of in the relationship, that's a good relationship.
Absolutely.
But when you're there to sacrifice and your job is to sacrifice and serve, is that really working for you?
And that's not protecting your heart and loving, right?
Right, and that's the next step is many women tend to, and again, I was just in Nevada last week, they tend to love like they gamble. They throw it all on the table. We've got to keep some for ourselves. We have to love ourselves even though we love another. And there is such a tendency for women to be so in love and to be so self-sacrificing that they forget to love themselves, and then they become a different person than the person their partner first met.
Well, and then the partner isn't as interested because it's a different person.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Like, who are you,
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you say become strong in the hurt places, heal your wounded self. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think the essence of resilience is how we respond when we've been hurt. That's the essence of resilience. We don't develop resiliency as an intellectual exercise. We develop resiliency live in the moment, um, deal, dealing with an adverse circumstance that we, most of us, again, wish we weren't in this place, but nevertheless, here we are. So we can get curious about, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? You know, mm-hmm. what's worked before? And we can heal ourselves by going through a process where we take care of ourselves, and that's becoming strong in the hurt places, which is, again, the essence of why we develop strengths, is to protect ourselves.
I think that you have to really, if you are hurt, I think you have to really feel that hurt. People tend to, women and men, walk away from their pain. They don't want to feel, and they avoid. And I think that it only comes out sideways if you don't.
Yes, it does, because we all feel it. It's a question of what we do with it. I mean, in our society, men feel pain, and they're taught to close down.
Mm.
In you know, women are, you know, taught to feel pain and to blame themselves for it.
There's got to be an easier way.
Yes. Well, I think the easier way is to say, okay, this happened. What do I need to do to take care of myself? And that doesn't mean you don't take care of your children if you have children, or you quit your job. But it's like you are the only person you will spend your whole life with. How do you treat yourself lovingly? Not just treat those around you lovingly, but treat yourself lovingly. What works for you? And my focus in the book, The Resilient Woman, is to really help women have a dialogue with themselves about what works for them. What are their strengths? What works for them? And how can they begin to put that out there?
Women are so relationship-oriented, though. It's almost hard for women to find time to be, or make the time to be, alone and really get in touch with themselves.
Right. And that's why I started the book, and, you know, the first step is the crisis, because there we are.
Yeah.
But if we can learn from these crises, in these moments where we are, okay, we're dancing as fast as we can, you know, then we could, the takeaway is, though, if we have these strengths, these are strengths we have, and we can use them consciously. So many women, I have in the book six styles of resiliency, and so many women tend to use their resiliency in other than conscious ways. Probably the most common way that women use their resiliency is they tend to treat themselves almost like they're two different people. They are resilient at work, they're decision makers, they take charge, they take care of business, and they come home and they put themselves in a one-down position to their partner. And they let their partner be the decision maker. They're asked, what do they want to watch on TV? And they have no opinion. They don't assert themselves.
Why do you think that is?
I think that's part of girly thoughts. It's like we have to somehow, once we're in a relationship, we have to somehow take a one-down situation in order to keep our partner.
Well, we think.
And it doesn't, you know, by the way, it doesn't work. We see that. But that doesn't stop many women from trying to do it.
Well, but then what ends up happening is, on the other side, there's built up resentment, and then anger comes out in the wrong places anyway.
Well, it's a question of what you're going to, all relationships have conflict. It's a question of what you're going to have conflict around. Are you going to have conflict around something that's important to you, or are you going to have conflict around the fact that you've been stuffing your feelings for so long you just can't stuff them anymore? You know, the nature, you know, animals growl at each other. They get over it, but they growl and they go on.
Right, right.
Where is the tension going to be, and how do we resolve it? I think saying there should be no tension in a relationship is totally unrealistic. One couple I knew when I was in my 20s had the perfect relationship. They never argued. 2 weeks before they got married, they argued, never spoke to each other again. You know, we don't want that.
No. You know what? We have to
learn how to give and take.
I just have like 2 minutes left, but I want you to just tell our listeners a quick story of someone who successfully has used your strategies.
Well, I had a woman who came to see me, and she had had a child about 4 months ago, and she found out her husband was having an affair, and she came into my office because she was depressed and berating herself because she had gained weight during the pregnancy, and she was tired. And in quick order, we started working through her girly thoughts. And by the way, she was tall and thin and beautiful.
Always,
but she didn't feel it. And she got in touch with her strengths, and she got in touch with her anger, and she was able to confront him and tell him this wasn't okay, and they were able to start really dealing with what they both wanted, not just what he wanted, but what they both wanted. And by the way, they stayed together.
Fantastic. Dr. Patricia O'Gorman, thank you so much for being on Talk with Francesca today. To get your book, The Resilient Woman, Mastering the 7 Steps to Personal Power, Amazon, I take it?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local independent bookstore.
All right, fantastic. Thanks again for being on Talk with Francesca today.
Thank you, Francesca.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. To find out more about what's ahead on Talk with Francesca, visit my website, talkwithfrancesca.com, and click on upcoming shows. And, of course, if you missed the show today, it'll be posted on my website as it always is. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope I gave you something to talk about. Don't try.